Good morning and welcome to the Business of Government Hour. I'm Paul Lawrence, partner in charge of the IBM Center for the Business of Government. We created the center in 1998 to encourage discussion and research into new approaches to improving government effectiveness. You can find out more by visiting us on the web at www.businessofgovernment.org. The Business of Government Hour features a conversation about management with a government executive who is changing the way government does business. Our conversation this morning is with Roger Nober, chairman of the Surface Transportation Board. Good morning, Roger.
Good morning, Dave. Good morning, Paul. Thank you for having me here.
And joining us in our conversation is Dave Abel. Good morning, Dave.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
Could you tell us more about the Surface Transportation Board?
The Surface Transportation Board, which we, you know, affectionately refer to as the STB or the Surf Board, is an economic regulatory agency that oversees primarily rail and a small amount of trucking and water shipments. It is the successor agency to the Interstate Commerce Commission, which is the nation's oldest federal regulatory agency. We have about 140 employees, down from maybe 2,500, which we had 25 years ago. Most of the industries which we oversee have been deregulated, so primarily motor carrier and water rates, which had been very heavily regulated from the 1930s through the 1980s, are now market-based, and we have just a very few people who deal with that. And the bulk of our staff works on rail-related matters. Railroads are an interesting industry in that they're both partly a regulated utility that, you know, serves customers that solely rely on rail and have no competitive options on the one hand, and we have oversight to ensure that their rates are reasonable and their service is fair. And on the other hand, they're competitive with trucks and they operate in a competitive marketplace, and we have no role in that part of it. So we do have a great deal of influence with the rail industry, and we try to use that to help iron out problems informally as they come on. We review rates, complaints that rates are unreasonable, that service problems arise, and most, perhaps very importantly also, we review and approve mergers between railroads.
What are the skills of the 140 people?
We have a variety of people who work for us. We have many lawyers who process the cases that the rail industry needs to continue forward. Being 150 years old, it has a lot of statutory regulations on it to get rid of track, to lay new track, any number of things that most private companies wouldn't need government approval for, railroads do. So we process those, and that's probably about a third of our staff. Then we are also an economic regulatory agency, so we have to review whether rates are reasonable. So we have a team of economists, engineers, and industry analysts who are able to look at and apply sophisticated models to complaints about rates and evaluate whether they're reasonable or not. And finally, we have a team of environmental specialists. Anytime anybody wants to lay a new rail line, we have to approve that and conduct the environmental review. So we have an environmental section, and that's become a busier and more controversial area in the last few years. And finally, we have folks who are industry specialists who help informally work out service issues. So, you know, a shipper will call up with an issue here or there, and, you know, they will try to help mediate it or bring about a resolution. But people who have to really understand what it means to operate a railroad to do that effectively and ensure that railroads are operating smoothly.
You've talked so much about transportation in your description. What's the relationship between the board and the Department of Transportation?
Well, it's an interesting and somewhat unique one. We are decisionally independent. So for the substantive matters that we decide, the cases that come through us, and our policies that we implement, we are by statute independent from DOT and from the direction of the secretary. So we function like an independent agency. On the other hand, we are administratively affiliated with the Department of Transportation. We all are technically DOT employees. They do our payroll. We use their copy machines. I've got a DOT ID, and as does everybody else. So we're kind of neither fish nor fowl, and I think only the Federal Energy Regulatory Commission is kind of a similar hybrid situation. But I work the DOT and have very good relations with the folks there, and we informally cooperate with them on any number of matters.
Can you tell us a little bit about your responsibilities and duties as the chairman?
Sure. We are a three-member bipartisan agency. We have right now I'm the only member, and for the first time in the 125-year history of the ICC and STB, we only have one member, and I think I'm the only multi-member agency in the government that's ever been alone for this long. So I kind of joke with people that I finally reached the point in life where everybody has to listen to me.
Because you're the chairman and the board.
Because I'm the chairman and the full board. And now the president has announced that he's going to nominate two new folks, and hopefully they will be in place before the end of the year and we'll be back to our full complement. my duties as chairman are, first of all, to set the agenda and policies. And as chairman, you know, that's really, having spent 8 years on Capitol Hill working for one of the most powerful chairmen there, that's really the main power that a chairman has, is to set the agenda and decide what goes forward and what doesn't. I believe in cooperative, you know, in running a cooperative agency, so I work very carefully with the other board members when I have them to try to come up with consensus on the agenda. But, you know, my job is to really map out and drive the agenda of the agency and what kinds of policy initiatives we want to take. Secondly, when it comes to our decisions that we render, we both set new policies and we decide disputes. When it comes to disputes, I am the administrative head of the agency, so the staff report to me. So I first review and ensure that the decisions that go forward are ones that I'm comfortable with, and then sit down and work with the other board members to try to bring them along. But I kind of make a decision in the first instance on matters. Finally, as I said, I'm the administrative head of the agency as well, so I approve all hiring, firing, transfers, budget, prepare the budget, decide on disbursements. Some of that has to be collectively approved, but preparing and deciding on setting priorities in the first instance is my responsibility.
You mentioned a number of years that you spent on the Hill. You've had an interesting career leading up to your current role. Can you tell us about your previous experiences before being chairman of the STB and how they have impacted the decisions that you make and the background that you've brought to the position?
Well, sure. I got involved in transportation because it's an area that I just like and always have since I was a kid. When I was in college, I wrote my thesis on a beltway, and when I was in law school, I wrote my note on environmental litigation and transportation projects. So while I spent 4 years in New York after I graduated from law school working on a variety of securities-related matters, I really was very fortunate to be able to come to Washington and be involved in transportation. It was kind of a fluke that I wound up going from what had been the country's largest law firm to Capitol Hill. And it's hard to explain how I quite got there, but I was very pleased to be able to. I was offered a job at the time the minority staff in the House of Representatives, and this was in the 38th and 39th year of the Democratic majorities. And the idea that I would ever be anything but a minority staffer was incomprehensible. I mean, it was just laughable. But proving that it's sometimes better to be lucky than to be smart, I took the job, and I was the junior most staffer on the minority side of the largest committee in Congress. Ironically, the chairman at the time was a Democrat named Norm Mineta from California, who will factor into this a little bit later. And the ranking Republican was someone from Pennsylvania named Bud Schuster, who is a well-known figure in the transportation world. And in 1994, the country voted a Republican Congress. It was quite a shock. And then I went from being a junior staffer on the minority side to being the head of the largest subcommittee in the Congress, the Surface Transportation Subcommittee. One of my first duties when I was in the majority was to be the principal staffer for a bill eliminating the Interstate Commerce Commission and creating the Surface Transportation Board. And a lot of the policies and philosophies that I bring to the job were born of that exercise. The ICC was the only federal agency to be eliminated, and we can talk in a little bit why that was. You know, to my mind, when I manage the agency now, it's really keeping in mind why was this agency in the past eliminated, and you know, what are our core missions and how are we going to focus our energies and resources on those. I was promoted to the chief counsel of the committee and was the principal staff person responsible for drafting T21, and spent many years on that, and that was a terrific experience as well. And when Bud Schuster left, he was term limited out of staying on as chairman, which again was incomprehensible when term limits were adopted that Republicans would ever be chairman, no less be chairman for long enough to have term limits kick in. It was an unthinkable outcome. I started working for Don Young and spent 6 years with him as the new chairman, as chief counsel of the committee. And Michael Jackson, who was then the recently named Deputy Secretary of Transportation, and Norm Mineta asked me to come over to DOT to serve in a sort of senior capacity there as counselor to Michael Jackson at the time. And that was an interesting transition, going from the legislative branch to the executive branch, and you know, learning different skills and understanding how to manage an administrative agency rather than politically how to legislate. Bud Schuster was considered to be the best legislator in a generation and was responsible for much of the major transportation legislation that is pending now, and learned a great deal about how to you know, how to get bills to the president's desk that reflected what the members wanted to see. And I was, I think, a fairly experienced and successful legislative aide there. At DOT, there were a different set of challenges. And Michael was a tremendous manager, and Secretary was a tremendous leader. And I learned a great deal from them about how to manage an agency. And after about a year or so with them, they were, you know, DOT was a factor in selecting a new STB chairman, and they asked me if I'd be interested in taking on that role, and I was. And this was after September 11th, and it seemed like it'd be an interesting challenge. And so after a somewhat extensive process, I was nominated by the president in July of 2002 and confirmed in November of 2002, and here I am. And, you know, one irony is that in 1995, the night that the House of Representatives passed the conference report eliminating the ICC and establishing the STB, the subcommittee chairman at the time, who didn't really think we were eliminating the agency, so he didn't love the bill, said, well, you know, there's a good job for you when you leave Capitol Hill. You can go to the board. And I said, oh, don't worry, Mr. Chairman, I'll never go to the STB. So it shows you what I know.
That's an interesting point, especially how the dots all connected with the people. What is reauthorization and why is it important? We'll ask Roger Nober of the Surface Transportation Board when the Business of Government Hour continues.